It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Thus magnify thy word above all thy name. Thy word is truth. Study to show yourself approved unto God, workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We continue our study in Galatians chapter 2, and we are in verse 9, and a fairly long verse, but we come to the end of it. In the second section it says, this is the purpose. And so here it says, in order that we might go to the Gentiles. So they receive the right hand of fellowship. At least in this instance, it doesn't say they laid hands on. They may have. We're going to see that. I probably won't have time today, but the idea of laying on of hands came to mind because we had the ordination service, and there were several reasons throughout the New Testament for laying on of hands. Some of it even came from the Old Testament Levitical offerings, where the high priest and the offer would lay their hands upon the animal sacrifice, and of course, basically symbolically conferring their sins to the animal sacrifice. So the idea of laying on of hands comes from ancient times, and probably not even just biblical times, as a means of identification in a certain way. And so we might say that identified that individual with the ministry, perhaps. We see it in the case of the Levitical priests, where the laying on of hands to confer upon the Levitical priests. We see it actually, and I'm just telling you in brief, we'll get some points on this next week, but we see that the laying on of hands was used in the conferring of the Holy Spirit when it came upon people, and the apostles were laying their hands on people who had believed, and they were receiving the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean that there was, again, any magic in the laying on of hands. It was simply that the apostles recognized these people were believers, and God simultaneously indwelt them by the Holy Spirit, and at that point, that miracle of the indwelling and enabling of the Holy Spirit for the beginning of the church age. So it was during the transitional period in the early part of the book of Acts where that occurred, a laying on of hands. But mostly the laying on of hands, although it's not every time, even not mentioned here, we have it in Paul's initial ordination, if you will, over in Acts chapter 3. We'll kind of see that one as well. So in Acts 3, we see that Paul actually, they laid hands on him and Barnabas. That was the initial, and that still was several years, I think it was 3 years or more, after Paul had been born again on the road to Damascus. So ordination is simply something that recognizes later that an individual has the gift, or in certain cases it had to do with members of the congregation who were set apart for special purposes in the congregation, such as the deacons, those who would administer the Lord's table, those who would care to the needs of the saints, in other words, function in their spiritual gift, and it was conferred upon them that the pastor and the teachers in that case would recognize those spiritual gifts by the laying on of hands, and also the gift of pastor-teacher. In fact, there's a passage in Timothy that says, be careful not to lay the hands on an individual for ministry as a pastor too quickly. Make sure that they are qualified, that they meet the qualifications of ministry. So many reasons for the laying on of hands, even though not found here. It's quite possible that it was. Again, they'd already been ordained, but here a commissioning, if you will, just as sometimes a pastor has been ordained, but then the congregation will send him out into the mission field. We have some of our folks, Dan and Pat Hill. Dan was a pastor, ordained many, many years ago, and yet he was sent out of that church that he was Petrean, I think, at the time, now Southwest Bible Church in Tulsa, and they went out, of course, are ministering in Liberia in the foreign field, and he was sent out so they would again lay hands on him, the members of the board or whatever in that church, sending him out into the mission field. So a number of reasons. Again, it's simply an identification and a recognition of that individual individual with certain spiritual gifting that he is being recognized by the congregation or other pastors and ministers that he has that particular gifting and sends him out to function in the ministry. That's all I want to say with that. We'll list them and give you some scripture next week, but I wanted to go on at least finishing this verse. In verse 9, what we have left here is for the purpose, that is the right hand of fellowship, so that we might go unto the Gentiles. Now the verb might go or should go is not found in the original. It simply says that we unto the Gentiles, but they unto the circumcision. So the verbs are left out in the Greek. Again, the process we call linguistically aposiopsis, which simply means words are left out that are implied to be there. And so they put them in the New American Standard. It's kind of interesting here, I thought, that even though they are not there, they usually put them in italics, and the words might go, and they too, those too is there, but the might go should probably be italicized. Not there in the original, at least in the manuscripts that I've consulted, perhaps in some of the other manuscripts. Sometimes they differ in a few of those particulars. Doesn't change the sense of the text whatsoever. So that is basically the rest of verse 9. And then 10, of course, simply adds that phrase, and so we can probably look at that just for a moment, and then I wanted to go back and get a chronology. We did it before, but I wanted to redo it. I wasn't sure that I did a very good job, and so I want to give us a historic chronology briefly, attach some dates and verses with that, because this section, chapter 2, is a basic historic sketch of this Jerusalem conference and Paul's background. We mentioned the fact that Galatians, possibly the first book that Paul wrote in the New Testament, it may have been 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, or they may have been basically simultaneous within a year or two of each other, because the Thessalonian church was one of the first churches that he went to. The Galatian church was not a single church, it was many churches. Some think it was the southern Galatian churches, others think possibly the northern Galatian churches. So you'll notice that the book of Galatians doesn't say that it is to the church of Galatia. It says to the Galatians, and therefore it is to the multiple churches that were in that area, and therefore it is to the Galatians, plural, rather than to an individual church, such as other epistles are, to the Corinthian church, to the Philippian church, one church involved there, to the church in Rome, etc. All right, verse 10 says, they only ask, again, only is the only word. They is not there, us is not there. It simply says, and ask is not there. Only the word only, manos, only remember. And the word remember is a and present active, so it implies basically a subject. So they have added here only that we remember. The subjunctive is hopefully the potential that Paul won't forget about taking care of those who are in need. Only that we remember the poor. And then he says basically the very thing also I was eager to do. The word eager there, I like it in the verb form, is spoudazo. That's the word we find when it says study to show yourself approved. Be effervescing, be enthusiastic about doing it. And Paul says, I was eager. I was enthusiastic to make sure that the destitute, the poor, were considered in terms of our ministry. And so that takes us down then through that verse 10. And that ends this section, which goes from verse 6 down through verse 10, as we've noted. And this recognizes the basically commissioning, if you will. You could call it an ordination. I think of ordination as when you first become a pastor. But basically ordination or commissioning, same idea. It's simply an identification and recognition of a particular gift, whether it be pastor, deacon, or some other function, evangelist, within the local church. Now, the other that I wanted to go over was the things, and we talked about this before, this is the timeline, so we can put these in sequence as you're doing the study. We won't look these all up because we've done it before, and there are basically five things here that I want to list. The first one, these are basically the chronology. We have Paul's conversion, And if you want to do this, you can kind of do this as a study going back through this if you haven't been with us. And this is found in Acts, of course, chapter 9, and that's 1 through 22. That's Paul's conversion, road to Damascus. We saw that in the past. The scholarship is divided, whether it's 34, 35 in that neighborhood. We'll stick with one date, and we'll say here that it's A.D. 34. So his ministry begins there and continues, and we noted the fact that it was some time before he even ordination. I'll get the word out in a minute. Okay, ordination. And so that's the first thing. The second thing then, according to Galatians, which is the only place it's mentioned, that he spent some time in Arabia. Now, it doesn't tell us how long, so he was in Arabia. So apparently went into the wilderness, got information from the Lord Jesus Christ, and prayed and studied the Old Testament manuscripts that he had with him, apparently, and learned a great deal. And then it says he went to Tarshish. So that was his home. And so he goes to Arabia, and then he goes to Tarshish. And also for 15 days in Jerusalem. And that was for 15 days. And that was his first time down in Jerusalem. Now remember, he lives up in Tarshish, which is north around the bend of the Mediterranean on the eastern seaboard, probably about another 50, maybe even as far as 100 miles from Antioch. So quite a distance. In fact, as he was going down from Antioch, Syria, let me put the map up here just to give you a picture of this, and then we'll come back to our point here. And so on this particular map, I've had several maps, but this one at least shows, here's Antioch, here's Tarshish, and down here is Jerusalem. Get it there, there's Jerusalem. And so the distance between these two is about 265 miles. And then you can see up here, you've got probably another 100 plus miles. So when we talk about going from Antioch to Jerusalem, it's not like you got in the car and drove 2 hours. You know, this would maybe take, you know, a week or even a month, depending on how many stops they made and what kind of transportation they were. They were either walking or they were perhaps on some type of camel or something. It doesn't tell us. So it's no easy thing to go from Jerusalem up here and then come down here for 15 days, 265 miles, or if coming all the way from Tarshish, probably over 300 plus miles. And so it doesn't sound far when you say it, but when you're walking it, or on a camel, perish the thought, that's a long way to go. And so, well, Paul went here, and then he went there, and you go, days and weeks and maybe a month to go these places. So he was there 15 days, but it may have taken him a month to get down there. He was there 15 days, then he went back up again. And they're down and up and down. They came down later with the contribution. Here's Antioch, Syria, and they went down with that contribution, he and Barnabas, at a later time. And then eventually, 14 years later, most of Paul's ministry was up here in Antioch and in the southern area of Asia Minor, of course up into Galatia, and in his first missionary journey before he ever went to the Jerusalem Council. He was already in ministry doing God's work before he actually got commissioned, as it were, to go to the Gentiles. And so this is where we have the distance. You can see is substantial. I was trying to think, if he went 20 miles a day, could you walk 20 miles a day? Maybe 10 miles. I don't know if you'd want to go there. So that's 26 to 30 days doing here, and maybe another 10, 15 days here. So I'm standing in front. I'm sorry. There you go. Oh, I've got my pointer, and I don't use it. All right. There you go. Okay. So there you see. I'll point with my pen. There is Jerusalem. There is Antioch. Over there is Tarshish. So you've got, you know, 365, as we're counting roughly, the distance there. So it's a long way to go. So when he goes up and down, you think, well, it's not like going from Vancouver to Portland. Go across the bridge, it takes you, even if you walk, maybe you could do it in a day or a half a day. It's a long walk. I wouldn't want to do it. But imagine going 300 and some miles back and forth to Jerusalem. So his ministry originally was basically up there in Antioch, Syria, and north. He hadn't really done much down in Jerusalem, and so his missionary journeys, of course, he went off into Cyprus and the others, and eventually went to Greece and up around here. But initially, he was working up in this area, and the apostles are down here in Jerusalem. So he really didn't have contact with them except with Peter when he went down to see him in Galatians chapter 1, as we noted. So that's the first thing. Okay, so we have two, then he goes down there for 15 days. So this whole period of time here, including Arabia, Tarshish, and the 15 days, 10 years. So he was up there about 10 years and hadn't been ordained. And so this is actually in this area. We find this is what's in Galatians 1, 15 through 17. We studied that. And this is probably here A.D., 45, 44, right? 34 to 44, so we'll, 44. So now we have him up here, so I'll put it this way, 34 to 44, okay? So he goes 10 years that he is going, he's up there working in that area, okay? All right, that's the second one. Then third, we have the ordination. Ordination of Paul and Barnabas. So the ordination. When did that actually occur? That occurs 10 years, basically in 44. So ordination is here, 10 years later, the beginning of the first missionary journey. And this occurs in Acts 13, 1 through 3. Let's go over there since we haven't seen that one before. Here's the actual ordination, in my opinion. Acts 13. Of course, his conversion was Acts 9, and then he ministers, and then the first missionary journey over here in Acts 13, verse 1. Now, they were in Antioch in the church. They were there, prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simon, who was called Niger, and Lucius the Cyrenian, and Manion, who was brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. That's Paul, of course. And while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, now I don't know how that occurred, set apart for me Barnabas and Paul. They were impressed by the Spirit for the work of ministry which I have called them to. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Cilicia and from there to Cyprus. And so they began to travel. This is then the first missionary journey over in verse 9. But Saul, who was also known as Paul, was filled with the Spirit and so forth. And so we have him ordained about 10 years in ministry before he was actually ordained. He was born again in 34. And it wasn't until 10 years later in 44 AD that he actually was ordained, in my humble opinion. And so we have the ordination there. And then we have number four, number four, which is the first missionary journey, okay? So we have the first missionary journey. And that basically is from this section, so Acts 13, 4 through 14, 28. So those chapters 13 and 14, and this of course is from 44 AD 44 to 51. Okay? So that's the first missionary journey. That's long before the Jerusalem Council. So he's already in operation. He's already been ordained. But he hasn't gone down except one time to talk with Peter. And apparently sometime during that, they had taken a contribution from the church in Antioch and carried it down there 265 miles for the Jerusalem church. And that's what Paul references in Galatians, as we've just noted. Okay, that's that one. And then number five, we have basically here what we have been discussing, and this is Paul and Barnabas. To the Jerusalem Council. Now this is 14 years after. Now, this is after the time in, there are 3 years, it said he was in Galatians, it said 3 years that he, before he went down to see Peter, and then after that visit, this was his first visit, 3 years after he was converted, which would have made it, 37. So 37, he went down. It said 14 years after that, so you add 14 years to that, and you get down here to 51, okay? So we go 37, that's the conversion in 34, plus 3 years in Galatians, and so then he went down to see Peter for 15 days, came back up from, he'd gone to Arabia and Jerusalem now 15 days, back to Tarshish, and he was there basically the remainder of 10 years, another 7 years. But 14 years after that first visit, which would take us now to 51, so AD 37 to 51, Paul goes down on a revelation from God, so he goes back down to Jerusalem for the council, and this is what we see in Acts 15, 1 through 29. That's the council meeting. You read that. And we have it in Galatians 2, 1 through 10. Now, not everybody agrees with these dates. And so, although Dr. Fruchtenbaum does believe that this is the case, and so I concur with him. Now, one further thing, because, okay, so the Jerusalem council, then what about this business here seeming to have another ordination, or certainly the confirmation? Here he's been ordained back in chapter 13. But now he's going to get a commission, the hand, right hand of fellowship. So number 6 here is Paul and Barnabas received the commission. Receive the commission. And it doesn't say whether they had laying on of hands or not, but they were commissioned. And now they are at the Jerusalem council, and they were sent out by the elders there, Peter, James, and John, and perhaps some others that were there. Now this, of course, is for the commission to go on the second missionary journey. So my point in all this is Paul's already been ministering for 10 years. He was ordained, you know, very early on, but that was even 3 years after he was initially saved. And it was another 7 years, well, actually 14 years beyond the time that he met with Peter and his ordination, that he actually got this commissioning. And now, if you want a second ordination, or certainly a commission to go on the second missionary journey, and this one, of course, is found in Acts 15:30. Now this is the point. See, when you get study these epistles, if we don't look at the book of Acts, Acts is very important because that's the Acts of the Apostle. And we have the first half, roughly, of Acts is dealing with Peter and even Barnabas. And then we have Philip, and we also have Paul, who constitutes the last section of the book of Acts. So now in 15:30, we have the second missionary journey. And so 15:30 and following will be that journey. We have it in Galatians 2:11 and following. So we've gone through verse 10. So in Galatians 2:11, now we're going to have the information that occurred after. So the end, if you look at Galatians, we finished verse 10. And then it says, of course, verse 11. Look at verse 11 in Galatians if you're there. Galatians 2:11. But when Peter, or Caiaphas, came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. There's a clear shift here. The but is a simple conjunction, but it actually is changing the time frame. Jerusalem council's over, and then they go back to Antioch, and Peter comes up to Antioch, and now he's kind of had a change of heart. He's a little bit confused about circumcision. At least he sits with the Jews who have become Christians rather than the Gentiles. And Paul sees that. He won't sit with the Gentiles because he's fearful that those Jewish people who've accepted Messiah will have a dim view of him, and so Paul gets on his case, and that's what the rest of this chapter is going to be about. That you know, you expect the Gentiles to become Jewish? I thought we ironed that out at the Jerusalem Council. You see, Peter was all for it and totally in agreement. Now he comes up to where Paul is ministering, and now he does this. And not only that, Barnabas is doing the same thing. He and Barnabas sit over at the table with the Jewish people. All the Gentiles are over here, and Paul's kind of, he's the MC, and he's going back and forth, and he goes, what are you doing over there? Why don't you guys one sit here and one sit there? Why don't we all sit together? You know, and that's his point as we get into verse 15 through the end of the chapter in verse 21. So the rest of the chapter is going to be his defense of faith alone, in Christ alone, and the absence of works. That's why I say Galatians is really, really strong on this information. So this kind of gives you the play by play. And so the second missionary journey goes from A.D. 51 to 55. So that kind of gives it to you. And just a quick run back through there, just so you get it, since I didn't do a very good job the first time around on this. Okay, let's see here. All right. So first we have Paul's conversion, Acts 9, A.D. 34. Then we have Paul in Arabia, Tarshish, and somewhere in there, 15 days in Jerusalem. So basically we're not sure. He may have gone to Arabia for 3 years, and then 15 days in Jerusalem. Thank you. 15 days in Jerusalem, and then the rest of the 7 years up in Tarshish. All of that time, of course, he was ministering long before any of these other things. But we do have then, as we said, that his ordination was in 44, so that was 10 years. 10 years after he was converted, and that he was actually ordained. So when we talk about Stuart and other people, myself, I was in ministry for a number of years. I was Glenn Carnegie's assistant in Tulsa long before I was ordained at Baraka Church. And to be ordained at Baraka Church, we had been missionaries for Baraka Church, and I had filled out the questionnaire to be a missionary. And of course, that's the questionnaire we use for ordination. So I was all prepared because I had done about 15 or 20 pages of answers to all those questions. So I was prepared when I went before Pastor Thieme in the ordination, and that's what we use today for Stuart, just to prepare students. So Paul, all 10 of these years, was being prepared to be recognized, basically, by the so-called pillars, if you will, of the church. So we have that, and then we have the next one is the ordination. And that's Acts 13 very clearly here. And then we have the first missionary journey there, 45 to 51, which is 6-7 years there, 6 or 7 years, 44 to 51. And that's in Acts 13 through chapter 14. So if you're studying those, you can maybe mark in your Bible so you know when these things happen. And then we have Paul and Barnabas, which is where we come in chapter 2. With kind of all of that is abridged in chapter 2. Where we see the Acts 15 Jerusalem Council, or Galatians 2, 1 through 10, which we just finished. And then what we're going to see, we have the fact that they received the commission to go, and that's going to be from the remainder of chapter 2 when they go back to Antioch, Syria, and continue and actually go on that journey where he goes out into the western region in Asia Minor and begins that second missionary journey. And that occurs in Acts 15:30 and following, and Galatians 2:11 and following, 51 to 55 for that. So hopefully that gives us a sense then of the historicity of this and how these things all fit. Again, people say, well, does it change my salvation? Is this really important to know? No, except that we need to understand that the things that they did then are the things that we do now. We ordain, we commission, we lay hands on, the same concept, recognizing the gifts that people have for ministering, whether pastor, deacons, or evangelists, as they are called upon by God and recognized by local churches. Well, we'll come back next time and we'll look at verse 11. And here we see the disagreement, the first major disagreement between Peter and Paul, and it does create quite a rift between the two of them, which is sad because you think the Lord said, see how they love one another. And here Peter's he's kind of siding with the Judaizers, and Paul's going, what is wrong with you? Have you lost the core? I'm sure Peter said, no, not at all. These are just my friends. I'm sure he dodged the issue there. But it says, he said here, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. Wow. that doesn't sound like they were having a polite disagreement here. And so sometimes these things happen in the real world, as they did then. Hopefully we don't have to confront people with that type of problem. Father, thank you so much for your word that lives and abides forever. We thank you for the fact that in your scripture we find that there are sometimes difficulties in personal relationships. Nevertheless, your grace and your word prevail. And if we're faithful to your word, as you have given it to us, and as Paul and others who have made tactical errors, and those who have been in disagreement with your plan, are spelled out in your scripture so that we can see the errors that they made, so that as an example to us, we might not make those same kinds of errors. Help us to stay on course, Father. Help us to stay firm in your word, that we might do those things that are pleasing in your sight. And we give all the glory and honor to you, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen.